We have the tremendous opportunity this Shabbos to read Parshas Ki Tavo. Ki Tavo is an action-packed Parsha. We begin with Bikurim, followed by Vidui Ma'aser, the entering into Eretz Yisrael, which we are so getting ready for. What happens when we go in? We have to write the Torah on different rocks. It's a very enigmatic story. And finally, we have the Brachos and the Klalos and the Tochacha, which befell the Jewish people. We begin Parshas Ki Tavo, five to go on the Parsha, with a beautiful thought from Rabbi Lam. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam Zatzal asks the following question. He says, if you notice, we have the Mitzvah Bikurim at the very beginning of our Parsha. The Mitzvah Bikurim is if you have one of the Shivas Haminim, that you have a fruit tree, you have a pomegranate tree, and the little pomegranate grows. It's the first one of your harvest, first one of the year. You must bring that to the Beis HaMikdash and give it as a gift to the Kohanim. As you do that, there is a parade and a beautiful procession and a lot of pomp and circumstances that surrounds this mitzvah as one enters Yerushalayim. The Mishnayos in Bikurim discuss the beautiful, greeting that the farmer gets as he brings this to the Beis HaMikdash. And even in the Beis HaMikdash, you give it, and you give animals come, and you give it with other fruit as well, and you give it in a beautiful basket, and you you make a declaration to the Kohen. However, we have other mitzvahs that we give of our tithings, we give of our crops, and one of them is the mitzvah of Maaser. The mitzvah of Maaser. Maaser is 10% of your earnings go to the Levi. So Rabbi Lam asks the following question. When it comes to the mitzvah of Bikurim, how much you have to give in order to do the mitzvah? Even one grape. So why is it when it comes to mitzvah of Ma'as Bikurim, even a little bit grape warrants such a huge display of love for this mitzvah and so much pomp and circumstance? When it comes to the mitzvah of Ma'asir, which is so much more, we don't do that. In fact, the only thing we do is that after 3 years, make a declaration called Vidui Ma'aser, expressing the notion that you fulfilled all of your mitzvahs. So by Ma'aser, giving a lot more, but you don't make such a big deal about it. But when it comes to Bikurim, you do. So what is that? What's the difference? So there are many answers to this question. I urge you to discuss this at your Shabbos table. So Rabbi Lamech gives the following answer in the Drasha. Actually, it's three answers. This is his third. He says, when it comes to the mitzvah Maaser, Maaser is given at the end of the year. All right, it's the end. You already know how much you already gained, how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu showered you with. And now this is at the end of the year. That's a celebration. It's not such a celebration. It's the end. As opposed to Bikurim. What are you celebrating? What's a celebration of Bikurim? It's a celebration of potential. And that is worth so much more than just a 10%. It's not just about a definite or defined amount. Bikurim represents everything. It represents the great achievements, right? One's triumph, one's success that one could achieve. So, and we are starting that off with this notion that all of that goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We owe it all to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is the first thought. Second thought comes from the pasuk in the declaration to the Kohen. Pasuk is Ve'anisa, Ve'anita, Ve'amarta. You shall make the declaration of Arami Ovi Avid Vayir Mitzrayim, the Pesukim that we recite on Pesach night at the Seder. We should say them out loud. Ve'anita, Ve'amarta, you should say them out loud. The first Shlomo learns this pasuk a little bit differently. Al derech avoda, al derech chasidus. He says the following: the anita, the amarta. The anita is also lashon of ani, of poor. When it comes to chasidus, the chasidish rabbis talk about two different terms. Sometimes we learn, or we're in a state of katnas hamochin, or in a state of lowliness. We don't really, things aren't moving for us. They're not jiving. We feel stuck. We feel like we're not waking up the normal way. We're not jumping to do things. It's not flowing. And then you make godless where everything is great and everything is flowing. Realistically, within our daily life, we experience both katnas and godless. But he says the following, Ve'anita ve'amarta. Some people may think in the days of ani, of the poor, of the destitute times, where we feel we're really not giving that much to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're really not doing enough. We daven, but I got a little kavana in, right? We're not trying. It just, we're so overwhelmed. There's so much anxiety. We can't be present as much as we need. And we may say, what's this? What am I actually doing? What am I accomplishing? Maybe I learned the daf today, but I really didn't chop the whole thing. Erevin's really hard. And I didn't have that much time to focus. There was 100 things going on. The Anita of Amarta says in Tefer Shlomo Donska Rebbe, nonetheless, even your days of Anias, the days of Katnas, are so significant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He so appreciates them, right? They're so powerful, so important. Right? We talk about consistency, how important that is in a Jewish life, right? The notion, Ani Hashem lo shanisi, the Pasuk says, I think it's in Micha. Hashem doesn't change. He's consistent. There's a value, even if it's not as meaningful as the day before, to persevere through every day, right? Like the Korban Tamid is very, very powerful. The Anita V'Amarta. The third thought comes from Rav Kook, from Avram Yitzchak Kohen Kook, in one of the Likud Svarim that's written on his Torah called Musar Avicha, has a beautiful thought. At the end of the Tochacha, the Torah says very clearly, you know why the Tochacha happens? For one reason. Tachas asher lo avarat Hashem Elokecha b'simcha uvetuv leva mirov kol. Because we did not serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we did not serve the Almighty, the Ribono Shel Olam, with simcha uvetuv leivav. We did not serve God with simcha, with joy, with happiness. Therefore, all this happened. But the pasuk continues by saying uvetuv leivav, with gladness of the heart. Now, what does that mean? What are those two expressions? So Rav Kook, and I think this builds off what we just said earlier, right, a moment ago. Rav Kook says in our third idea for today, that there's simcha, that we have to serve Hashem, b'simcha, right? And not everybody has complete joy in their lives. It's impossible. Maybe little kids do. It's impossible to experience full joy. But it's choosing to focus on the joy, on the optimism, on the positivity, to choose that. That's simcha. V'tuv levav. What's tuv levav? It's that somebody feels that they are worthy to Hashem. They're not overconfident. They're not, but they feel that they are somebody that a Kadosh Baruch Hu cares about and loves and feels loved. B'simcha, that's important. And we need simcha. But we also need to understand and to know that Hashem loves each and every one of us, and He needs us. He wants us. There's a knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, He cares about us deeply, and He wants us to serve Him because it's good for us. He doesn't need it. That's tuv levav. That's the meaning of tuv levav. That's the third idea. Fourth idea comes from the Ishbitzer Rebbe. This is beautiful. It's a very sharp point. So when the Torah talks about all the brachos that will Bezrat Hashem befall us, the pasuk says, "Bo elacha kol brachos ha'elam." You'll get all of these blessings, v'hisi gucha, and you will attain them. That's literal interpretation. You will attain them. Says the Meshiloach. What do we know? Mo money, mo problems. Sometimes somebody, experiences so much blessing. They win the lotto. They get that raise. Right? Their stature changes. What happens to them? They become a different person. They're not hanging out with the same friends. They speak differently to their children, right? They are overbearing or controlling in their life, to their spouse, to their parents, what's the true bracha? Ubalach kol bracha se'ila. Kash Baruch Hu should shower us all the tremendous blessings in our life. Parnasa, health, bracha, hatzlacha. Things that we need and we truly need, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us. V'hisigucha, says the Meshiloach, the Ishbitzer. What does that mean, hisigucha? That we shouldn't change. Right? That these brachos should not affect who we are as individuals. So that's a true bracha. Same friends, same personality, same humility, same relationships. Right? I remember Rav Govach telling the guys in the kollel, in the Sora kollel, that when you get married one day, you're going to become this hotshot lawyer, this hotshot doctor, that everybody in the world, that rabbi, everybody in the world is going to look up to, and they're going to say, oh, right? And they're going to write down every single thing you have to say and pay attention to you and get you coffee and fetch you this. And then you're going to come home. Your kids are going to need you. Your wife's going to need you. When you go home, you're the helper. You're the ozer. You reset. You're not that hotshot person. No, you are the parents. You're the spouse. You're the sibling, right? That's not, it should not change. You're the friend. These things should not get to our heads and should not change us. The fifth and final idea we have about Chassidus today, Baruch Hashem, comes from Rav Leib Eger. In Torah, I think it's safer, Torah's MS. Leib Eger says something really, really beautiful. The pasuk says in the Vidur Meiser that we make a declaration that we gave all the Trumas and Meisers the right way, the appropriate way. We said, Lo Avarti Mitzvosecha Velo Shachachti. I didn't violate any of the mitzvos. I formed the mitzvos. Velo Shachachti, I didn't forget to do them. Rashi says, what does it mean I didn't forget? He says, didn't forget means that I didn't forget to make a bracha. So asks all the Mefarshim and Rashi, making a bracha is rabbinic. If Rashi really means making a bracha, then that's the implied understanding is that the Torah already recognizes the notion of brachos. And that's not true. And that's what Leib Eger says. Avada asher kol brachos dirabanan. Eich itachin. So what does this mean here? What does this mean? So he quotes a pasuk in Parshas Eked. Parshas Eked teaches us the source for the mitzvah of birchas hamazon and benching. And the context of the pasuk of benching begins with v'zecharta, that you have to remember. You're eating bread, you're sitting comfortably in your home, you have a big meal. You have to thank God. You have to bench. You have to bless God. And how does the beginning of the pasuk say v'zecharta as Hashem Elokecha? You have to remember Hashem because He gives us the strength to do what we do. Right, and then it goes through the whole Ba'olah mitzvah. So Leib Eger says it's going back to this notion. Velo shachachti, I didn't forget, meaning I remember. I had this ability to give so much tzedakah. Maaser ani, I gave, maaser rishon. I did all of these mitzvahs, but you can't do that. You can't give all of this if your crops didn't grow. If you didn't have blessing in your field, in your Isa, you had that ability, you had that bracha, v'zacharta, you remembered ultimately where it came from, right? You see a lot of the theme that we discussed this week for the Shabbos is notion of brachos. It's important to focus on that. So much of the past 6 months is focused on the negative, the black. It's so hard. The stock market went down today and this is hard and people are recovering. But yeah, it's reality, but we also need to choose to focus on things that are more optimistic. As we enter Bezrat Hashem, a new year, it should be Tichla Shana Bikiloseha, that we should end this year and all the kolos should go with it, right? And Tichla and the Brach and the new year should begin with the brachos. Wish everybody a tremendous, tremendous Shabbos. Kol Tov.